The Bible said in verse number 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. If you'll take your Bible and turn back over in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 to verse number 14, the Word of God said this, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. If God will help me for a little while this morning, this is what I want to preach on. Triumph in times of trouble. Triumph in times of trouble. Pray with me, please, and pray for me. Father, thank you this morning for these that have gathered, a wonderful crowd, Lord, on a cold December morning. Lord, when the virus is raging throughout the land, and yet, Lord, we have folks this morning that want to hear the songs of Zion, want to hear the Word of God, want to give of their tithes and offerings. God, we're grateful. I pray, Father, this morning that you would take this preacher and use him for the next little bit to be a blessing. Be a blessing, God, to our people. Lord, help us, Lord, to shut out the world for just a few minutes and, Lord, be in tune with the Holy Spirit. And may the Spirit of God speak to us, and may we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to us today. God, we love you. It's all because you first loved us. Help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We would have to be kind of foolish not to know and understand and believe that this year has been a year of trouble on every side. And yet, I'll say a little bit more about it later, probably not even to compare with the troubles that the Apostle Paul himself found himself in. His persecution, perils among countrymen, perils among false brethren. He was, I believe, stoned and left outside the city for a dead man. I personally believe that's when he was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that are not lawful to be uttered. But Paul, though he was troubled on every side, was able to live a life that was triumphant through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say three things, and only three things today in the message, and I trust it'll be a blessing to you. I want to concentrate on if we're going to triumph in times of trouble. I want to say this year, and say a little bit more about it in a bit, but there have been times when I have lived on the victory side. But there have been times this year when I've been very defeated, very despondent, very discouraged, and yes, at times, depressed. I like things the way they were last year, don't you? I like being able to shake hands with God's people. I like being able to go to the shelter and have an outing, or go to the fellowship hall and have an outing. I like children's church. I like the van ministry. I like a choir full of people singing the praises of God. And there are times I've not been, Brother Gary, on the victory side, that I felt like the enemy had his thumb on me and was doing a good job. Amen. You say, well, Pastor, it didn't come out in the pulpit. I'll tell you something, buddy. Listen to me carefully. We try our best to be an encouragement every time we get up here. But most of the time, we're trying to encourage ourselves as much as we are anybody else. Amen. I'm telling you, this world's a dark place. I thank God we're not going to be living in it too long. And we're going to a place where Jesus is the light of that place. They won't need, amen, a lamp. They won't need electricity, because they won't even need the sun and the moon. For the Son of God is going to be the light of that city. What a day that's going to be when we get there, amen. But until then, Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I picked up on something this morning. I don't know why. I've never picked up on it before. But as I began talking about this message, think about something. Look in verse number 7. The Bible said we have this treasure. What's that next word? We have this treasure. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 7. We have this treasure in. In. I want you to pick up on that little word. In earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'll tell you how I believe that Paul was able to do it. Look at the next word, the next verse. We are troubled. What's the next word? On. Here's what Paul's going to tell you. I've got a treasure in me, and I've got trouble around me. And it's really up to me who's going to win the day. Say amen. I can either concentrate on the trouble, Brother Preston, that's around me, or I can concentrate on the treasure that's in me. Honey, I'm going to tell you something right now. The trouble should not keep us down as God's people. We ought to be able to stand up and square our shoulders back and say our God is on the throne. He has a purpose in everything that's being done. And know, beloved, listen in our hearts that Jesus Christ has not forsaken us. There's some lessons He wants us to learn in life. But I believe with all of my heart we can be triumphant even in times of trouble. I got to looking at my life this year and examining my life. The defeat comes when I get my eyes, Brother Rose, off of what's inside and get my eyes on what's going on around me. But beloved, listen, I remember well, I told the church, I think on a Wednesday night, I just did not feel like Christmas. I remember when God visited with me in my heart, and all of a sudden, beloved, it was Christmas in here, amen. And it ought to be Christmas in here every day. We ought to be thanking God every day that the Son of God left His throne in heaven, came down here to be born of a virgin, knowing He was going to a cross. The Word of God said, for this cause came I into the world. It was for that reason that He was born, that He might die for you and for me. I believe there's trouble around us, but I believe there's a treasure within us. Look what the Bible said in verse number 16 quickly. I'll try to get to the message. In verse number 16, the Bible said, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish. Listen to me carefully. I don't have to tell y'all this. I've been meditating the last few days on the precious saints of God that's went home to be with Jesus even since I've been pastor of this church. But let me tell you something right now. This outward man's perishing. But you know how Paul was able to triumph? He said there's an inward man that's got to be renewed day by day. I don't know about you, but if I go to the loaf of bread and then sat there long enough, drawed enough moisture to grow a little mold, I'm not going to take the moldy piece and put it in the trash can, and I'm not going to take the piece behind it. That whole loaf is going in the trash can. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say that a lot of God's people are trying to live on molded bread. Beloved, it's old, it's stale, it's stagnant. They can't even get excited about a song. They can't get excited about a verse. They can't get excited about a sermon. They can't get excited about somebody being saved. I'm telling you, there's something wrong when we can't get excited about the things of God. And the Word of God said, the inward man is renewed day by day. Give us this day our daily bread. You know what I think about that loaf of bread a while ago? No, I'm not going to eat the molded bread. There's people in this world that would love to have that slice of molded bread. They might take a knife or something and scrape the mold off. And they might not even bother to do that. I guarantee you they wouldn't throw the whole loaf away just because one slice had a little bit of mold on it. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say we're blessed beyond measure. Because if we did throw a loaf away, Brother Preston, we'd just go to the store and get a new loaf. Amen. I thank my God this morning for His blessings. And He wants us to know there's a treasure within us. There's three things I want to give you this morning and we'll go home. We must have faith. If we're going to triumph in times of trouble, we must have faith. Look what the Word of God said in verse 3 of this same chapter, chapter 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them who believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And the Word of God said to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you something this morning. Could it be, beloved, that the reason some folks never triumph in the things of God is they're not in the faith? They've never been born again. They've never known what it is for the light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus to shine in that dark place. And beloved, listen, give them that new birth the Bible talks about. I believe, listen, it's good for us, like we said Wednesday night, to examine ourselves. Make sure that we're in the faith. Beloved, listen, this is no time to be fooling around. Jesus is coming. I believe everything that's going on in our world is pointing towards the fact that He's coming again. And we need to be ready for His coming. We must have faith. 1 Peter chapter 4, turn there with me for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Let me show you a verse of Scripture here that God put on my heart this morning early. Hebrews, James, and then Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. The Word of God said this, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. I want to tell you this morning, beloved, listen, there's preachers in our land that'll tell you if you're saved and you're serving God, you'll never have any trouble. That's a lie out of hell. I'd stand toe-to-toe, square with any of them that preach that mess and tell them that is not scriptural. The Apostle Paul was God's man. The Apostle Paul was a godly man. And God told Paul right up front, you're going to suffer for my name's sake. But I tell you, I thank my Lord, beloved, listen, that the Word of God says here that, listen, it's not strange. The fiery trials, they're going to come. And we ought to thank God for the trial. Because, listen, the trial of your faith, I would rather know that what I have is real right here, right now, than to wait till later and find out, beloved, I'm in trouble. And what I had was not real. I'd rather know it right here, right now. Because standing before God, it's too late. Amen. We must have faith. Many in times of trouble, they fall by the wayside. And the reason for that is they do not have genuine Bible faith. They've swallowed a lie. I'm thinking of parents right now that are mad at God because their children didn't turn out the way they thought they ought to turn out. You say, Pastor, are you serious? Yes. And it's the grace of God, it's not you. And it's the grace of God, it's not me. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. God, listen, wants us to know that if we have genuine faith, we can go on in the storm. We can go on in the times of trouble because we have a treasure that's down inside of us that's way, way, way bigger than the trouble that's all around us. way bigger. The song used to say, God is bigger than any problem that I can or cannot see. I believe with all of my heart we're living in trouble sometimes. And many times the trouble comes on us and blindsides us. We don't see it coming. We didn't see this coming in America. We didn't see it coming in the world. But I know this, God saw it coming. It took us by surprise, but it didn't take God by surprise. There have been other times in history where it's been even worse than it is today. We must have faith. Look at 1 Peter again, chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1, we'll move right along. In chapter number 5, excuse me, verse number 5 of chapter number 1, listen to what the Word of God said here. Who are kept by the power of God through, what's that next word?
Faith.
Do you have faith? Do you have saving faith? Do you have serving faith? Do you have, listen, that faith to surrender your life to Christ? Watch this now. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season. You know what Paul realized? He realized that the trouble that was all around him was just seasonal. I looked in a couple of weeks ago, and we'll get to it when we can, but all the leaves have fallen off the trees out in front of the church, and they need to be gotten up. And we'll get to that. We'll get them up. We like to try to keep things as nice as possible around the church. Amen? But let me tell you something. It ain't going to be long. You give it the end of January, the 1st of February, there'll be a bud coming out on those same trees. They may already be doing that. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? Seasonal. Just a little short season. No leaves. Then there's going to be life. And there's going to be leaves. We need to realize, beloved, now for a season, our hearts may be heavy. There may be trouble all around us. But that treasure inside of us would remind us, beloved, that this season is short. Life is short. Death is sure. Sin is the cause. But thank God Christ is the cure. Life is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and then it vanishes away. Sometimes we expect older people to pass away. We don't expect children. We don't expect young adults to pass away. But beloved, death is no respecter of person. And we know that we're going to leave this world one day. The key is to be ready. He said you're in heaviness through manifold temptation or trials. He said that the trial of your faith be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. So not only Paul, but Peter, knowing, beloved, listen, that he had a treasure on the inside, it helped him to deal with the trouble that was on the outside, all around him. Number one, we must have faith if we're going to triumph in times of trouble. Number two, we must not faint if we're going to triumph in times of trouble. The Word of God said in verse number 1 of chapter 4, therefore seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Let me ask you something. How many of you love the book of 1 Timothy? 2 Timothy? How many of you love the book of Titus? How many of you love 1 and 2 Thessalonians? How many knows where I'm going? How many of y'all understand that if Paul faints and Paul falls out, beloved, listen, we don't have these books in the Word of God. I'm glad, listen, thank God for a man that was able to say, hey, there's trouble on every side, but there's a treasure down on the inside of me that keeps me going for the glory of God. That treasure is Jesus. We must not faint. There's a couple of things that will help us not to faint. Number one, the cross. Look at verse number 10. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. I want to ask you to do this. In any trouble, whatever's going on, there are people today, listen to me, I don't know of anybody personally, but I guarantee you in our world, there are people that are having financial trouble. There are people that are having marital trouble. There are people that are having physical trouble, that are literally struggling for their life. There are people that are having all kinds of trouble in this world today. But I want you to understand, what, no matter what that trouble is, if you carry it to the foot of Calvary and you look up at what Jesus is going through, you look at His suffering, I believe with all of my heart, beloved, if we put our trouble in that light, it changes things. It makes us not want to faint. It makes us want to, beloved, go on for the glory of God Almighty. Look what the Word of God said in verse number 16. For this cause, for which cause, we faint not, but though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. I want to give you something. Not only the cross will keep us from fainting, but look at the contrast in these verses right here. The Word of God said, for our light affliction. How is it that Paul could talk about being beaten of the Jews of 39 stripes, or 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes? How is it he could talk about being in perils of countrymen, being stoned and left outside, shipwrecked? How can he talk about these things and then turn around and say it's a light affliction? I tell you how. He contrasted it with what Christ went through at Calvary. He contrasted it not only, beloved, in what he suffered, but in time, because the Bible said here, our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Our whole life, if we live to be 100 years old, it's just a moment in the big scheme of things. And the Word of God said that, listen, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that'll be revealed in us. Contrast the sufferings of this time and the trouble with the glory that'll be revealed in us. I thank my Lord, don't you, that we're going home. And when we get home, the troubles will be left behind. Farewell, farewell, sweet hour prayer. I thank God for the day this robe of flesh I'll drop and rise to seize the everlasting prize. And I'll shout while passing through the air, farewell, farewell, sweet hour prayer. We must have faith if we're going to triumph in times of trouble. We must not faint if we're going to triumph in times of trouble. Let me give you this, and I'm finished this morning. We must look to the future if we're going to triumph in times of trouble. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look at verse 18. What are we looking at? Are we looking at the trouble, or are we looking at the treasure? Watch what the Bible said. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Right there's the key. I said, right there's the key. You see, the things which are seen, we don't have to look by faith. But the things which are not seen, we have to look by faith. I got my dad on my heart strong the other day. I thought about the last couple weeks of his life, oxygen. I thought about, Miss Eve, the expression on his face. Dad was always a joyful person. But the last couple weeks of his life, it was tough. Brother Gary, every time he would cough, there would be blood coming up. It was tough to watch. It was tough on him. It was tough on the family. But you know what Paul said? That's just a blink in time. My Lord said to me, if you could see your daddy now, I could go back and see my dad. Sister Amanda, they would sing the song in the choir, what a day that will be. And honest to my God, my daddy would raise his hand and it would look like, when he takes me by the hand, it would look like he had just placed his hand. He would light up with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Well, Dad got to meet him. And Dad found out that everything that he had heard from this old book was real. It was true. I told your mom that maybe you weren't down at the house, Brother Aaron, but I said, my dad's never met a stranger. He'd go to, what do you call that place? John calls it Sin City. Gatlinburg, down there in them places, Brother John, Pigeon Forge. And it didn't matter where my daddy was at down there. If there's a bench, there'd be somebody sitting on the bench. Her dad'd be sitting on the bench. Somebody come along, sit down. They'd just strike up a conversation. It didn't matter if one of them was from New York and the other one was from Virginia. It didn't matter where they're from. Just a few minutes, they were talking, fellowshipping one with another. I told your mom, I said, maybe my dad, your dad, sitting down on the river over there somewhere. You just don't know, amen. I do know this. They know one another. They didn't have any problems recognizing on the Mount of Transfiguration. Say amen. I'll tell you something else, beloved. They didn't have any problem recognizing when the rich man died. And when Lazarus died, they knew who Abraham was. Rich man knew who Lazarus was. Amen. I don't know what it's going to be like, but I know this. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be wonderful. Won't it be wonderful there? Having no burdens to bear. The Word of God said, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Here it is. For the things which are seen are, what's that word? Temporal. That means everything you can put these eyes on is temporary. But glory to God, that treasure is eternal. Everything you can lay the eye of faith on through the Word of God is not temporary. It's eternal in the heavens. Watch what the Bible said here. We must look to the future. Look at chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Don't you like that? Amen. Won't have to take any blood pressure medicine. Won't have to take any ibuprofen. Won't never have to have an IV stuck in its arm. Amen. Praise God. Never be on oxygen. Never struggle to breathe, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Let me give you this and I'm done. Turn over to Revelation chapter 20, 21. Revelation chapter 21. Triumph in the times of trouble. We must have faith. Some people will never triumph because they've never been born again. We must have faith and we must not faint. I'll say this, there are some genuine, born-again believers that have fainted on God. My prayer is, and actually a fear, that through this pandemic, a lot of people are going to faint on God and not go forward for the glory of God. Let me give you this. In Revelation chapter 21, the Word of God said here in verse 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there were no more sea. I want you to concentrate, if you will, on those two words, no more, no more sea. I'm excited about heaven. Jesus will be there. My saved loved ones will be there. He said, Pastor, why didn't you say your loved ones? Because my family's just like yours. We've had people leave this world that wasn't ready. Unsaved loved ones, Brother Rose, will not be there. I don't care how nice the preacher preached at the funeral. If you die unsaved, you'll not be there. You must be born again. You must be saved. The Bible said there's no more sea. Think about this. That sea separates the continents and the peoples. When we get home, There's no more sea. But there's a city that's 1,500 miles that away, and that away. And thank God there's more than a city. There's a new heaven. There's a new earth. Now, one day I was studying the Bible, and I got excited. Because even though God has a city, and even though it's a wonderful city, I've just never been much on the city. I like the country. You know what I found out? God's going to let us go in and out. That don't help you, that helps me. Say amen. We're going to get to go in and out of the city. Praise God. It's going to be wonderful. No more sea. Watch this. In verse number 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more. You ought to underline that. No more sea. No more death. No more sorrow. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. No more death. I'm going to a place where there's never going to be a funeral. I'm going to a place where there's never going to be a hospital. I'm going to a place where no loved one will ever be weeping over someone's sickness. I'm going to a place where we'll never be separated again. I can't get that picture out of my mind. When Sawyer closed his eyes and turned his head. Sawyer don't know it yet. But Papa's praying. You all might have to do without me one Sunday. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Because if I hear that boy got saved on Saturday, I'm heading to North Carolina. That'd be all right. I'm looking at my deacons. That'd be all right. Okay, that didn't work. I'll look at your wives. I'm just kidding. Never be separated again. I'm going to go ahead and say something. I cannot think of a person in 7 years that's left this church. And they've left for different reasons. Now, I was glad to see them go. God has sent us people. There's people that's moved, and we pray they moved in the will of God. But you're looking at a pastor that's glad the separation will be over when we get home. Amen. It'll be over. No more sea. No more death. No more sorrow. No more pain. Triumph in the times of trouble. We got to look to the future. Look at chapter 22. Verse number 3. And there shall be no more. What's that next word? Okay. Is there anybody in this building? Let me say it like this. Besides pastor that thinks things you shouldn't think? Is there anybody in this building besides pastor that says things you shouldn't say? Do you know what's going to happen when we get out from under the curse? Brother Grizzle, we're never going to think something we shouldn't think. We're never going to say something we shouldn't say. We're never going to do something we shouldn't do. We're never going to look at something we shouldn't look at. We're never going to listen to something we shouldn't listen to. I'm telling you, I'm thrilled about the prospect of no more curse. No more curse. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with living triumphant? We must be in the faith. We must not faint. But we've got to get our heart and our mind and our eyes beyond this mess we're living in. That's what Paul was able to do. That's why Paul was able to say, thanks be to God. Sister Carol, that cemetery up there, I don't know who is and who ain't, but Jesus does. And every one of them that died with that treasure in them is coming out of there when Jesus comes again. I've been over to East Lawn a lot. I've been over to Oak Hill a lot. Different cemeteries with different families. Brother Aaron's dad was buried down in Fall Branch. But everybody in that cemetery that left this world with that treasure in their heart, Jesus is going to step out of a cloud one day and he's going to shout, come up in there! The Word of God said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. You say, well, preacher, that means it'd be better off to be dead when Jesus comes. Not necessarily. You see, Jesus is in this business of no respect of persons. He's just getting them even with us so we can all go together. I don't know about you, but what a day. What a glorious day that will be.